kitchen floor, lace 'em up and bar the door. Thank your stars for the roof that's over you. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound.
Tom Paxton, that was fun. Jack Rummel and I were just harmonizing to that, singing along with it. It's that kind of song, sing-along song, Tom Paxton. And I dedicate that one to Bridget, too. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. This has been Highway 322. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and online at kgnu.org. Time now for Ragtime America.
Welcome to Ragtime America. I'm Jack Rummel. I'll be with you for an hour of recorded ragtime this evening. And tonight we're going to turn our attention to a part of the country that we've actually not studied in any depth before. We certainly referred to the birthplace of ragtime as being the state of Missouri and have studied Missouri ragtime. We moved up into Indiana and studied Indiana ragtime. We've been to California and so on. Well, tonight we're going to a city that you might not expect. We're going to Detroit. Detroit, Michigan. There was a lot of good ragtime published out of Detroit and a lot of good musicians in Detroit who were writing it. And so we're going to be concentrating on those tonight. Turn to our earliest piece that I have a recording of, and the group playing it is called the River Raisin Ragtime Review, and they are from Michigan themselves, and so they issued an album called Ragtime Detroit, which gave me the idea that I could find the same music that they recorded on their album, but by a lot of other folks as well, because these pieces have been quite popular. So we'll kick it off with the River Raisin Ragtime Review, and they will open with a piece from 1895 called Black America, written by Harry H. Zickel and published by him. Zickel was a popular orchestra leader in Detroit at the time. Thank you. All right, the River Raisin Ragtime Review and Black America by Harry H. Zickel. That same year, 1895, came one of the first pieces to be published by, or written and published by Carrie Mills, who wrote a lot of good pieces that we have featured on this program. But this comes down to us as the first one. It's called Rastus on Parade, and he self-published it in Detroit out of a small office that he had there at the time. This was before Mills moved to New York. Let's listen to the Dawn of the Century Ragtime Orchestra. The Dawn of the Century Ragtime Orchestra with Rastus on Parade by Carrie Mills. Mills would move on from Detroit to New York and publish such endearing hits as Red Wing and Meet Me in St. Louis, Louis, and others. So anyway, let's stay right here in Detroit and let's turn our attentions to a publishing house there. The Whitney Warner Publishing Company was a casual enterprise initiated by two young white entrepreneurs intimately associated with Detroit's theater world. Bert Whitney's family owned the Whitney Theater, the Detroit Opera House, and a piano and organ company that also published some music. Allie Warner was the acting manager of the Lyceum Theater. Together, Whitney and Warner attracted many of the local composers, both black and white, and successfully promoted their sheet music catalog through their theater connections. So let's listen to some of the pieces that were published by Whitney Warner of Detroit. And certainly the first composer that comes to mind here is Fred S. Stone. Stone was a local band leader in Detroit, orchestra leader in Detroit, and wrote some great ragtime. And in 1898, he published a piece, or he wrote a piece that Whitney Warner published called My Ragtime Baby. And we have it here tonight by the Ragtime Skedaddlers. Ragtime Skedaddlers and My Ragtime Baby by Fred S. Stone. Well, another great big hit for Stone. That one sold very well, incidentally. And another big hit for Stone came the following year in 1899. It's called The Bosun Rag. And our artists this evening are the Ophelia Ragtime Orchestra from Norway. Thank you. The Bo'sun Rag. Fred S. Stone wrote it. That was the Ophelia Ragtime Orchestra. Well, another composer from Detroit, and a very well-known one to us in the ragtime field, is Harry P. Guy. Harry Guy was a rather self-effacing black composer who preferred to stay in the background but wrote some really, really great music. He worked for the Whitney Warner Company as an arranger, and Whitney Warner published a couple of his works, and we'll listen to those now. One of these, I think, should be very familiar to a lot of our listeners. It's called Echoes from the Snowball Club, and it's supposedly the very first ragtime waltz ever written from 1899. Here is the duo calling themselves Ivory and Gold. It's Ann and Jeff Barnhart. Thank you. Ann Barnhart on flute, Jeff Barnhart on piano, and Echoes from the Snowball Club by Harry P. Guy from 1899. You may have noticed that we are almost exclusively doing groups tonight, orchestras, reviews, small groups, and so on. We've only got a couple of solo piano pieces tonight, so it's interesting that all of these pieces are being performed, for the most part, by groups. All right, well, back to Whitney Warner. Whitney Warner also had an amusingly casual accounting system. Allie Warner, the perennial song plugger, would pocket the cash from their COD orders, and at the end of the week, he and Bert Whitney would split 50-50 the remaining cash in Allie's pocket. Despite 10 years of creating a successful catalog, by 1898 this arrangement was leading to bankruptcy. Well, enter another enterprising young gentleman, Jerome Remick, son of a wealthy lumber family. Having amassed fortunes in lumber, real estate, and a dairy business, he was looking to diversify and saw the ailing Whitney Warner Company as an opportunity. The question must be asked, why did the non-musical Jerome Remick buy a music company? The answer can only be that it looked like good business to do so. Under the direction of business manager Fred Belcher, the company had developed a good-looking product, and so Remick snapped it up. So these next pieces that you will hear were still published by Whitney Warner, but Jerome Remick was at that point the majority partner. Let's turn now to another piece by Harry P. Guy from 1899. It's called Cleanin' Up in Georgia, and here's the Porcupine Ragtime Ensemble.
Thank you.
Cleaning Up in Georgia. That was the Porcupine Ragtime Ensemble. Well, let's turn now to a woman named Louise V. Gustin, who was a Detroit music teacher and wrote some interesting ragtime, and we'll play a couple of those tonight. From 1899, here's a piece called Topsy Turvy, and we'll turn to our first piano soloist, Nora Hultz. Nora Hultz and Topsy Turvy by Louise Gustin. A year later, in 1900, she would write even a bigger hit. It's called Eccentric, spelled X-N-T-R-I-C, and recorded by the Max Marath Quintet.
Thank you.
Oh, I love the way Max does that. Max Morath Quintet and Eccentric by Louise Gustin. Well, in the first 3 years that Jerome Remick purchased Whitney Warner, he, with leaving Fred Belcher still in charge as business manager, he went on a buying spree, acquiring several smaller publishing firms, and one of those was Daniels, Russell, and Boone, a small St. Louis company founded by Charles N. Daniels, a name that should be familiar to a lot of our listeners. Remick offered Daniels a job, and under the guiding hands of both Belcher and Daniels, things prospered. And one of the reasons that Remick wanted the Daniels firm was to get a hold of a piece that Daniels had written under the name of Neil Moray called Hiawatha. And we'll get to that in a moment. But by purchasing Daniels, Russell, and Boone, he got some other great tunes as well, including this one from 1900. It's called Peaceful Henry, written by Kansas City composer E. Harry Kelly. Here is the Paul Price Society Orchestra. Peaceful Henry, played by the Paul Price Orchestra. Well, on to Hiawatha from 1901 by Charles N. Daniels. Jerome Remick paid $10,000 to get a hold of this piece, but he turned it into a mega hit, especially after, the March King turned it into, John Philip Sousa played it and turned it into that mega hit. So here is Hiawatha, a summer idyll, played by the Peacherine Ragtime Orchestra. Hiawatha is played by the Peacherine Ragtime Orchestra. Well, another mega hit that Remick acquired because of buying up other smaller publishing companies was Dill Pickles, written by Charles L. Johnson in 1906. This went on to sell, I think, 2 million copies. Here is the Palm Leaf Ragtime Orchestra to play Dill Pickles.
Thank you.
Palm Leaf Ragtime Orchestra and Dill Pickles from 1906. Well, Jerome Remick and Company was growing and growing and soon became one of the largest publishing houses in the country with offices in New York, but maintaining its publishing headquarters in Detroit. And they had a store in Detroit, and one of the people that worked at that store was a woman named Charlotte Blake. And she wound up having some of her pieces published by Remick, and here's one from 1908 called The Gravel Rag. The Gravel Rag is played by Nan Bostick on piano. And from 1909, another Charlotte Blake piece published by Remick. It's called That Poker Rag. And the group here will be the Pacific Coast Ragtime Orchestra. Thank you. Poker Rag by Charlotte Blake. That was the Pacific Coast Ragtime Orchestra. Well, I'd like to pause for just a moment here before we conclude the show and remind everybody that Tom McDermott is coming to Denver from New Orleans to entertain us once again. Sunday, August 3rd, 2 p.m. at Montview Presbyterian Church, 1980 Dahlia Street in Denver. Excuse me. McDermott grew up in St. Louis, but following graduation from St. Louis University, he moved on to New Orleans, where he has lived ever since. He's rubbed elbows with James Booker, Professor Longhair, and Dr. John, and was the pianist for the Dukes of Dixieland for 5 years, and toured Germany and South America, and has played Carnegie Hall. And he will be coming to Denver to play ragtime, but emphasizing, I think, the New Orleans sound of piano music. So once again, you won't want to miss Tom McDermott, Sunday, August 3rd, Montview Presbyterian Church, 1980 Dahlia Street in Denver, starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And for tickets in advance, you can call 303-979-4353, or probably you can get tickets at the door. Okay, let's close out now with our last piece of the evening, published by Remick and written by a man named Charles L. Cook. And I neglected to look up any information on Cook, so I can't tell you too much about him. But in 1914, he wrote a piece called Blame It on the Blues, which is actually a rag. Here is the Manhattan Ragtime Orchestra. We'll let them take us out this evening with this piece. This is Jack Rummel saying thanks for joining us on Ragtime America this evening as we explored the ragtime of Detroit. And I hope you'll come back again on another Thursday evening for some more recorded ragtime. Here is the Manhattan Ragtime Orchestra. The time is 9 o'clock in the Boulder Valley. You're listening to KGNU Boulder Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and on the World Wide Web at kgnu.org. Stay tuned for Swing Shift.
Thank you once again, Jack, and welcome to Volume 4 of our U.S. Travelogue here on KGNU. I'm your host for Swing Shift this evening, Dave Gloss, and tonight we go into the Deep South with tunes like Suwannee River and Dixie, so stay tuned for some memorable recordings. Let's get started this evening with a classic tune from the Hi-Los.
Oh, I wish I was in Dixieland.